transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otobill. And now, today's word.
This is part 6 in my God series, and my subtitle is The Judge. God, the Judge. One of the things we know about God is that He is a judge. God is a judge. A judge is one who decides the final outcome of a matter. He or she determines how things should rightly be. A judge is there to defend what is right and what is just. In my opinion, and it may be subject to debate, but that's my personal opinion, judging is the most powerful responsibility on earth. And by extension, I believe judges are the most powerful people on earth. They decide between right and wrong on all natural matters and pronounce verdicts on them. Judges overrule precedents. They can just make a verdict and get everybody into trouble. They are very, very powerful. It's a very powerful position. And the judges of this earth derive their power from the ultimate judge, God Almighty. And so that's what we're going to look at today, that God as the judge of the universe, the God who is creator is also our judge. You know, many times we want to see God as the one who loves us, who is merciful, who is full of grace and all of that. And that's all true about God. But don't also forget that this God who is merciful is also a judge. And that we find also in the book of Genesis. So we go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. In part 5, I quoted from the same Genesis chapter 1 verses 4 and 5, but I looked at a different aspect of God and His work. But today we are referencing this and we're going to look at God as judge. Genesis chapter 1 verses 4 and 5. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. God is the judge of His works. God is the judge of His works. I made the same statement in part 5, but did not expand on it very much. And this idea of God as judge is not something that comes up later in the Bible. And as I've said, the book of Genesis is very, very important, especially Genesis chapter 1, because all the important doctrines about God are in Genesis chapter 1. Later on, they are expanded in the rest of the scripture. But right from Genesis chapter 1, we see God. We see that He is eternal. We see that He is a creator. We see that He is a spirit. We see that His works are good. And we see that He is also a judge. And these are very important. We see that God is also the Word, what we later come to formulate as the Trinity. These are all ideas present in Genesis chapter 1 because God is introducing Himself. In Genesis chapter 1, God is introducing Himself and He's telling us who He is. And so here we see that God is the judge. He's the judge of His works. Now, how do we arrive at the idea that God is a judge just by reading this passage? Couple of things I want you to pay attention. The first thing is that God sees. God sees. God saw the light that had been made. He sees. He observes and inspects His works. When we say that God sees, it means that he looks at something and he pays attention to it. In the context that we are using it in Genesis chapter 1, it means he examines what he has done. God sees. And it is an idea that you find throughout the scriptures is associated with God, that nothing is hidden from God. Nothing is hidden from God. He sees what is obvious and he sees what is hidden. And no creature and no thought and no action can happen without him seeing it. So that's the first thing we see about God from this passage, that he sees. That whatever we do, he sees. As a matter of fact, he even sees our thoughts before they become actions. The second thing you see in the Bible is that God calls. He called the light day. Not only does he see the light, he also calls it. What does it mean? It means he names and identifies things as they are. He names and identifies things as they are. He sees and he calls. And that's a very important thought also in the Bible. God calls light by its rightful name and calls darkness by its rightful name. God has names for all things. And it's also a concept that runs through the Bible. And throughout the Bible, you realize that not only does God see, but he calls. He names things. He proclaims things. He identifies things. So when God sees sin, he doesn't hide it. When God sees sin, he doesn't decorate it. When God sees that you've done wrong, he's not going to massage it. He's going to see it and he's going to call it as it is. So if you commit adultery, God will call it adultery. He will not call it a generational curse. If you are jealous and envious, he'll call it covetousness. He will not call it a desire to get. He calls things as they are. Now, human beings have a way of massaging things, especially in our community, where especially when big people do bad things, we try to rename the bad. And these days, we see that even among preachers, we try to rename what preachers do. A pastor is doing something wrong, and we say, touch not the anointed. A pastor is committing adultery, oh, don't touch him. He has a special grace. And a lot of that foolishness is circulating. But what does the Bible tell us? Throughout the Bible, God calls out the sin of his people. He named and called out the sins of Adam and Eve. He didn't hide it. He saw it and he called it. He named and called out the sin of Cain. He saw it and he called it. He called out the drunkenness of Noah. He saw it and he called it. Noah, the man who redeemed the human race. God didn't say, oh, for all the good you have done, your drunkenness is nothing. It's just your own personal matter. No, God calls things as they are. He calls out the lies of Abraham, the father of faith, who lied that his wife was just his sister. He calls out the anger of Moses and the murder of Moses. He called out the sins of both Eli and Samuel's children. He called out the adultery and the murderous act of David, the man after his heart. God doesn't say, well, he's a man after my heart, so I'm not going to see what he does wrong. No, God sees and God calls. And don't ever get deceived that you are so special to God and you are so unique to God that when you sin, because you gave a lot of tithes and a lot of offerings and because you fast and you pray, you are God special. No, nobody is God special. He will see and he will call. He sees and he calls. And the third thing we note in the passage is that God divides. The word divide, it's used in my King James Version or New King James, but it means he separates and sets things apart. So God divided the darkness from the light. He saw it, he called it, he separated it. It's all part of God's judgment. He sees, he calls, he divides or separates, sets things apart. And this is also an idea that continues throughout Genesis and throughout the scriptures. God separated Noah's family from the rest of the world during the flood. He separated Abraham from his father's land. He separated Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. We see it in the laws of Moses. The holy is separated from the unholy. We see it in the parables of Jesus. The wheat is separated from the tares. Sheep are separated from goats. We see it in the concept of judgment in the book of Revelation. The righteous are separated from the abominable. God does not mix things, he separates them. When God is going to judge, he doesn't judge blanket. He separates and judges. Two shall be together. One will be taken, one will be left. God, he sees, he calls, he separates. In God's judgment, he doesn't say, oh, you are a pastor's son. So because you are a pastor's son, you are accepted. He can separate you from your father. Your father's righteousness doesn't cover you. Your husband's righteousness doesn't cover you. Your wife's righteousness doesn't cover you. All of you men who don't pray and rely on the prayer of your wives. You think because your wife prays, God will be merciful to you. But in God's judgment, he sees, he calls, he separates. There is coming a time when God will separate. Although we are members of Christ's temple, our membership of this church does not give us salvation. Even in this church, God will separate people. Being in ICGC is good. But if you don't belong to Christ, when he's coming to judge, he's not going to say, oh, these are ICGC people. They are all good. No, he's going to separate. He sees, he calls, he separates. He sees, he calls, he separates. He sees, he calls, he separates. All right? And so don't think that by belonging to something that is holy, you become holy. Or something that is belonging to the right means you are right. No, you can be wrong and still belong in the right group. And God sees and he calls and then he separates. So those are the ingredients of God as judge. And we see it right in the book of Genesis chapter 1. Now, God put all of these concepts together in the first judgment that God brought to mankind. And the first judgment was over the first parents of the human race, Adam and Eve. They were the first to be judged. Now, I want us to go to Genesis chapter 2 and see how God as judge and these concepts work out. So we look at how God judges us. Genesis chapter 2. And I'm going to read two portions from Genesis chapter 2. Verse 9. And then I'll go to verses 16 and 17. Out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Remember, two trees. Tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. Then verse 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So God does not just judge us. You don't know what you're doing and then God slaps you with judgment. No. When we read the passage, we see a process. First, God gives us options to choose from. God gives us options to choose from. This is because He created us to have free will. Free will allows us to choose and to act responsibly. And that's what enables human beings to respond to God's word, to obey or to disobey. Humans have got a free will. We are the authors of our own actions. That is why we are able to sin, and that is why we are made accountable for our sin. If we didn't have free will, then there will be no sin. If we didn't have free will, then we will not be judged. Because it just happened. But we have free will. And please listen to me carefully, because there's a lot of very wrong doctrine all over being taught. Bad doctrines that makes people not responsible for their actions. Doctrines that makes witches responsible, ancestors responsible, ancestral yokes, principalities, powers, all kinds of things responsible except you. Now, if all of these things were responsible for your actions, then there was no need for you to be judged because you had no power. But we read right from Genesis that God will give us options. Listen carefully to me. You have options in life. You can be good. You can be bad. You can be a fool. You can be wise. You can be rich. You can be poor. I've always said that poverty is not by force. We are not poor by accident. We are poor by choice.